As a business owner of an aquaculture company, how can you take the first step to be profitable and sustainable at the same time? That's what we're going to be talking about in this episode. Hello, and welcome to the Business of Aquaculture podcast. This is the podcast for the sustainable business movement in the aqua farming and ocean ranching industries. This podcast aims to amplify the voices of entrepreneurs addressing the United Nations Global Goals, aka Sustainable Development Goals number 14, to conserve and sustainably use the oceans and the seas. Listen in to fellow business aquaculturists in their journey in this new model of food production, of making their business sustainable and help the ocean's ecology while also making a profit all at the same time. Get inspired to learn how even small to medium businesses can make an impact to save the seas, leave a legacy, and have a better quality of life. One of our goals is you take away a nugget of wisdom that will help your business move from the Industrial Revolution to Business 5.0. Our vision is that of collaboration in the aquaculture industry. I'm Lourdes Gant, your host.
As an aquaculture business, how do you bridge all the activities you have to do in your operations and how to focus on what matters? This episode is dedicated to answering that question. So listen in, and I hope you enjoy this episode. If you listen to episode 7, season 3, we discussed how Witaya Aqua helps aquaculture operations be more profitable, sustainable, and environmentally friendly by making sense of your aquaculture data. Welcome to season 3, episode 8 of The Business of Aquaculture. This episode, let's welcome Edgar Grudberg, who is the CEO of Nucleic Sensing Systems, LLC. They develop and implement innovative equipment and solutions that provide insight into critical biological activity. They recently was in the Innovation Award 2021. Welcome to the show, Edgar.
Thanks so much for having me.
As the third generation of his family in the boating industry, Dr. Rudberg has a passion for outdoor recreation and conservation. He is an avid angler, bow fisherman, hunter, and boater. As an entrepreneur for over a decade, he has developed numerous conservation-focused products that grew to national distribution. His PhD in natural resources, science, and management blended communication and psychological theory to catalyze individuals' adaption to conservation behaviors on lakes. This is really a good background that you have. Maybe you can tell us a little bit more how you got into the industry.
Sure, absolutely. So I received an undergrad in biology and a minor in communications. Reason being, I really found that it's difficult in the sciences and particularly in sustainability to communicate about the important science that we're doing to external audiences. And so I decided, you know, after graduating, what was the most fun job that I thought I could have, and decided to move down to the Florida Keys and teach about marine science, and eventually moved up north, if you will, and went to the University of Miami for my master's in marine affairs and policy. And that's where I really got my first taste of aquaculture with the work that's being done there, particularly for offshore with cobia. And did some field work in American Samoa, and eventually went back to school after working for state agencies to get a PhD in natural resources science, and really was interested in how we can catalyze the adoption of conservation or sustainable behaviors. And throughout that, I really realized one of the major barriers to the adoption of more sustainable practices is simply having the tools at your fingertips, right? So for example, if there isn't curbside collection of recycling at your home, you're unlikely to do it. And so I have always sought to develop products that help catalyze and make conservation and sustainable behaviors more easy. That's what brought me to, I owned a rain barrel business, a soil amendment business, and then my business partner, Mark Affelbacher, and I started a company called CD3. And we manufacture aquatic invasive species prevention infrastructure that goes at boat ramps that empowers boaters and anglers to clean, drain, and dry their boats. And as part of that process, we became very interested in decontamination efficacy and the ways in which we can show that boats, trailers, et cetera, have actually been decontaminated. And that led us to a partnership with the University of Montana and eventually the development of the tracker and our new business, Nucleic Sensing Systems. And really our goal with Nucleic Sensing Systems is to provide a biological smoke alarm for aquaculture producers so that they really understand and know early the types of potentially harmful organisms that could be bacteria, viruses, harmful algal blooms, parasites, and other diseases, so that they can take mitigative action early and take the right type of mitigation so that we can reduce things like antibiotic use or feed at certain times, draw from different water sources, etc. So really trying to make the aquaculture industry or empower the aquaculture industry to be more sustainable and to have the, like I said, the data they need at the time they need it to do so.
I love this background. It's so brilliant. I love when you, especially when you mention about having the tools in our fingertips. I always believed in the adage that a vision without a structure is just a pipe dream. So you really hone in on that by having all these tools that are needed to be able to empower our aquaculturists. That's so good. My next question is, what's one thing you can share with a business aquaculturist that can make a big difference in their organization?
What we are going to make is a fundamental change in how aquaculture producers do their day-to-day work. Obviously, aquaculture producers are heavily relying upon physical and chemical properties of the water that they have, you know, whether they're onshore or offshore. Those are really critical elements for their production. And the biological side is equally as critical. And I think that's what we're really going to provide the aquaculture industry is a way and a metric by which they can measure other biological activity that's happening in their ponds or externally.
Is there a specific tool that you guys have in NS2?
Our flagship technology is called the Tracker, and it is an autonomous in-field continuous detector of what we call environmental DNA. Every living creature sheds cells, and within those cells is DNA. And our technology can pick up that DNA and therefore tell you what's in the water, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. Would you care to share the story of how this came about? Who invented it? What was there a particular event that happened that led to the invention of the tracker?
Sure. The original inventor of the trackers is Dr. Cody Youngbull. And he, while at the University of Montana, developed the tracker as a means to detect aquatic invasive species, particularly quagga and zebra mussels in Western states. And that really was the catalyst for that technology. And then we saw it and we were instantly enamored and intrigued by the technology and what its future capabilities could be. And that's where we ended up partnering and working together to continue to commercialize the technology.
I love that you guys are doing this in a high-tech and a high-touch manner, especially when you mentioned the words knowing the environmental DNA so we can be proactive to mitigate and have actions before there's a disaster. It's so brilliant how that kind of merged together. So my last question to you is, share what's your biggest insight since you've been in the industry?
The industry is critical. When I look at protein production worldwide and how much we are leaning upon ever depleting natural stocks, the biggest eye-opener for me is as we grow in population in the world, we really are going to increasingly rely upon aquaculture to provide the needed food for that growing population. And there's just so much opportunity to really increase our tools when it comes to high technology, Internet of Things technology. It's just at a really interesting time that we can really push the industry forward.
And I said that was my last question, but you just mentioning about tools, high tech, and Internet of Things, I had a follow-up question of that.
No, please.
If you didn't mind. So how would you tell someone who is maybe a one-man farmer integrate IoT, Internet of Things, to their operations, if it's like a really bare bones aquaculture operations?
So there's a lot of new devices and technologies that are out there that aren't going to be in crazy expensive. you think about, okay, how am I going to explain this technology to my parents, right? And try to keep it as simple as possible. Well, they have, for example, a technology in their basement that will email them if it gets wet. So if there's water in the basement, they'll get an email. Or if the temperature goes below a certain 33 degrees or 35 degrees Fahrenheit in the house, they'll get an email or a text. That technology is not wildly expensive. You know, we're talking $30. Even people at their homes, you know, their Blink cameras that can turn on and send their phone a picture when there's movement in their yard. I think that all across the board, as well as in aquaculture, the chemical and physical parameters, there's more and more inexpensive monitoring solutions that really can help inform the aquaculture producer.
Thank you so very much. I am so really enamored with this idea of making it simple. So you just gave that practical advice of how they can actually apply this in their operations, whether they're big and small. So thank you so much for your time today, Edgar. My biggest takeaway from our conversation was when you were talking about empowering the industry. I think we're at the precipice now of where aquaculture is really making big strides, going to the next level. So we need that empowerment to make that happen, whether that's with technology, with collaborations, and of course, with stewardship. So thank you for the time. How can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. My email address is ed@ns2co.com, or check us out on the web, www.ns2co.com. Again, it's www.ns2co.com. Love to hear from folks.
Thanks, Edgar.
And thank you. Have a wonderful day.
To our subscribers, we appreciate your time listening to the show. Remember, you build the home in the Philippines via b1g1.com for every episode. So share away. See you next week. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Edgar.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening, and I hope you are inspired from this episode. Do take a moment and share this with your friends and colleagues, and rate and review the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. I'd love to know what your biggest takeaway from this conversation has been. What are you going to do differently? Please share your thoughts across social media and tag us. For links and show notes for this episode, visit our website, www.sustainableaquaculture.ca/podcast. Thank you again. I hope you will join me on the next episode, and together we can help create a better business in aquaculture.